Good afternoon, and welcome to another News in Focus podcast. I have Pastor Joey here with me, and this is Pastor Jonathan, and we're looking at an article, and the article is titled, New Book, Obama Told Aides That Drones Make Him Really Good at Killing People. And I'll just read it for us. President Barack Obama is criticized every day for the problems and difficulties associated with the Affordable Care Act, but in the long term, it's likely history will scrutinize the CIA's use of drone strikes during his administration with a far more critical eye. A quote from a new book on the 2012 presidential campaign, Double Down, Game Change 2012, will surely stoke that interest. As first reported in a book review by the Washington Post's Peter Hamby, Obama told aides in connection with the CIA's drone program that he is really good at killing people. The kind of quote likely to make Obama supporters cringe or scramble for justifying explanations, perhaps by rationalizing the quote as either false or out of context, or critiquing the information-gathering methods of authors Mark Halperin and John Helaman. The writer spent 2 years interviewing dozens of people connected with both the Obama and Romney campaigns. So I guess, Joey, my first question when I saw this title was, okay, what is the context in which he made this statement? And this article is, at least if we're to believe the article, the authors of this book went through, took great pains to make sure that what they are writing does take in context his statement and make sure that it gives us an accurate understanding of what he was trying to communicate at the time he made the statement.
Yeah, it would seem like that's their goal. And the reason we wouldn't say that this is some Fox News, because we all know that Fox News is kind of a conservative bastion for news, but we wouldn't. The authors of the book are not just going after President Obama. They're going after Obama. They're going after Romney, and they even go after Chris Christie, because when Romney was trying to decide who his VP he wanted, he was thinking about Chris Christie. And so they've uncovered some dirt on all of these guys, Obama, Romney, and Chris Christie. Now, the difference between Obama, Romney, and Chris Christie is Obama won.
Right.
And so I think that's what lends the book credibility. It's not just a bash Obama book.
All right, let's continue on. Whether uttered in jest or in resignation, the Obama quote will only add to the concerns of those wondering whether the president has embraced the godlike life-and-death power of the Oval Office. After campaigning against the intense interrogation procedures pursued under President George W. Bush, Obama has vastly expanded the drone program. Despite its intense unpopularity overseas, in part because of civilian casualties and in part because of its unclear secretive mandates, the Pakistan drone program continues as it has since 2004. And here are the facts. According to the Bureau of Investigation Journalism, the CIA has conducted 378 strikes in the program's 10-year history. Of those, 326 are classified as Obama strikes. The total number of people killed by drones is estimated at 2,500 to 3,600. The civilian casualties are estimated between 416 to 948, with 168 to 200 of those being children. As many as another 1,500 are estimated to have been injured in those strikes.
So, John, it seems like the president, who says he loves children, he wants to protect children in his own country, you know, when you think about 200 children have been killed in drone strikes ordered by the president, when you think about the president won a Nobel Peace Prize back in 2009, 2010, for being a peacekeeper, and yet he's been behind the death of up to possibly 1,000 civilians in these drone strikes, one of them being an American citizen who had turned to Al-Qaeda, but still an American citizen nonetheless. And so, I guess...
Now, we would certainly never say that we would be naive enough to think that we could carry on a war without having casualties that we didn't intend, mm-hmm. Civilian and children casualties. So, if I understand you correct, the issue is not so much And it's a sad fact of war that we have innocents that are killed and children. But it's really the duplicit nature in the way that this is talked about in the press and from his press room, in the fact that I want to make myself the champion and I'm going to go against what it cites in the article here, the interrogation. When he first came into office, just over and over, he went right after those interrogation methods. And so we feel like that that's really duplicit. And it's not so much that we would think that we could wage a war without wounding any civilians in the country in which these strikes are happening, and not even necessarily whether we're debating whether these strikes should happen at all, because certainly there are much smarter men than me trying to figure out for our national security whether that needs to go on.
Yeah, and I guess that's my biggest concern is the duplicit nature of the president, because he did campaign. He was going to be different than Bush. Bush was the guy who took us to war. Bush was the one who was responsible for all this waterboarding. He was going to bring the troops home, da-da-da-da-da, and on and on and on. He went with these sorts of things, and then yet here we're finding out that the guy who ran for president back in 2007 and 2008 is not the guy that is the president right now. They're two totally different people. And the article touches on that when, back in a couple paragraphs ago, he says that they're concerned if Obama has embraced this godlike life and death power of the Oval Office, where they're questioning the president, where he almost seems untouchable. Does he think that he's untouchable? Because we have these situations where he does these sorts of things, makes these sorts of decisions. Like back with the debt ceiling thing, he says, I don't have to compromise. So, we think about these sorts of things, it causes us to have a bit of concern. Rand Paul not too long ago went on the filibuster on the Senate floor because he wanted to force Obama to say, Obama, do you think that you have the right as the president to order a drone strike on American soil against an American citizen without the due course of the law being taking place? And it took a 27-hour, 28-hour filibuster by Rand Paul to get out of the president, because the president was being vague. He'd asked the president, and the president wouldn't say whether he thought that he had that power or not. So we're not necessarily even questioning, are drone strikes useful? Is it nice to be able to take out an enemy target? Is it nice to be able to take out an enemy target without having to endanger the lives of our troops? Yes, it's a wonderful thing. But at the same time, at what cost?
And I guess one of the most disconcerting things to me is the fact that we have an honesty crisis, it seems to be, in politics. And what I mean by that is we have men and women who are afraid to tell us what they believe because they're afraid that it may impact the vote. Well, Joey, I'm here to tell you it's supposed to impact the vote. You're supposed to tell me what you believe, and then I'm supposed to vote for you or not vote for you based on, do I believe that what you're telling me how you will represent me when you go to our government is in line with the scripture. And so what we have is we have a lot of flip-flopping. We have a lot of changed minds, and I'm sure that if we could see the amount of influence that a party has on a candidate once they get into office, if we could see the amount of influence that special interest groups, I know that's been brought to our attention, but I really don't think the American people truly understand the amount of influence that special interest groups have in reshaping what's said publicly. And so we get things like, you don't have to change your health care plan. Oh, yes, now you do.
Yeah.
And so what we really have is a lack of integrity, and we have a lack of honesty, and we have people who are willing to say something different than what they believe because they are going to get the outcome that is most favorable for them. This would be like, as a child, if I broke something in my parents' house, and then I lied about it, why would I do that? Well, I would do that because I didn't want to receive the punishment that I knew was coming for breaking that item. Or if I did something at school, I would put it in the most positive light that I could, and I would really kind of shade the truth. I would really make myself sound not quite as guilty as I was in the situation. And the reason I did that was because I had an honesty crisis. I looked at the situation, I thought, what is going to benefit me most? Is telling the truth going to benefit me most? Or is telling a lie going to benefit me most? And rather than being built on the truth, I'm built on what is going to bring the most benefit to me. And too many times, I'm afraid, even in this national security discussion, and I may even make some conservatives mad about this, we worry too much about what the political benefit is going to be, rather than running to the Word of God and saying, what does the Word of God say about this? We run to rational, logical thought, and to study opinion polls and see where everybody is feeling today. And so what we have is a culture in which almost no one tells you really what they believe because they're afraid you're not going to vote for them.
Yeah, you're not going to like them. And, you know, even the president's supporters, his people, you know, they stand up when you go back to the, you're not going to have to change your health care plan. Well, that's not what the president meant. Or what he was really saying was, in these parameters. But he didn't say that. He didn't say you're not going to have to change your health plan if. He just said you're not going to have to change your health plan. Right. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. And it's not just individuals right now.
Right.
John, I mean, it could be government. I mean, employees are going to have to change their benefits to their employees because the prices are going to skyrocket. Right. So it's not just individuals.
So what does an honest man of integrity do when he realizes he made a statement that overstepped his authority or bounds? What does an honest authority do?
Well, he repents. We would say apologize. Maybe that's apologize, sorry, or overused words in our culture today. But he makes it right. He doesn't necessarily even have to say anything. He stands up and he says, I'm going to make this right, and here's the 3, 5, 8, 10 ways that I'm going to make this right. What I would have loved to hear the president say is, hey, I screwed up. This
right.
bill stinks. I was going to say sucks. Maybe that's a poor choice of words. It stinks. And so we're going to fix it.
And I think that
we're going to delay it.
One thing we've lost in our culture and our society is the fact, is the ability to say, things have changed. I've learned more. I overstepped, whatever the situation, whatever led to him saying that, I was wrong.
Imagine that.
I was wrong. Somebody else has told me we can't do that. This is often like, you know, you see a company in a corporate situation. You see the salespeople promising things that the technical department knows aren't possible yet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, somebody has to say, wait a minute, time out. We can't do that. We can't afford that. Or, you know, this is not what I envisioned. And I want to get back to this point because I think it's to the point of this article. And that is, stand up for what you believe in. You know, I'm okay if you don't believe what I believe. But man up and tell me what you believe. And then we can have a discussion about that. I mean, if you're for abortion, I'm going to tell you you're for killing babies. But let's not pander, okay? You're for abortion, I'm against it. You know, let's go toe-to-toe on what matters. But I think in our political society, in our culture right now, what we've got is we're all the smoke and mirrors because no one's willing to commit to a position and say, this is what I'm standing on, this is what I believe. And so I think that's what's most troublesome about this is what you brought out at the beginning, and that is we're going to paint this picture like we're for freedom and we're for truth and transparency, all the while we're tapping your phones and having these secret drone strikes, just like our predecessors. And everything that we bash them for, we're doing it more. And I think that's what's really hard to take.
Yeah, and so that, you know, that I think that's where we need to start holding our leaders more accountable. You're not going to lie to us. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, it's we the people. The people came together and said, we are for this new government. And it's time that the people of the United States of America, because of the rights that they have, stand up and say, we're not going to put up with this anymore. This has infiltrated our society where anyone thinks that they can lie, cheat, steal. You know, we have problems here with people coming and, you know, using our stuff that's on the church property and breaking it and not replacing it, not caring. Because integrity is gone.
You mean when the child at school takes the wrapper from the pencils and just throws it on the ground and walks away, that's a problem?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, and as I watch television programs, and you know, and we all love those, the CIA and all those programs. But one of the things that bothers me more than anything is this concept that's promoted so heavily, and that is the concept that, well, one life versus the many,
mm-hmm.
and one situation versus the outcome. And I'm gonna slit this guy's throat here, because if I don't slit this guy's throat, he's gonna slit thousands of throats. You know, and we can really fall prey into getting a wrong world view, because we need to understand, well, what does God's word say about that? And we need to understand, okay, well, how much freedom do I have to act outside the law?
Yeah.
And that's what's troublesome at times when you see those kind of programs, because I think many Americans fall into that trap. And they're not thinking biblically. They're not thinking about, okay, this guy's breaking the law when he does this. We have procedures. We have due process and tapping and drone strikes, even though, yes, they are very beneficial. Those are outside the course of our laws that we the people have written.
Yeah, or even that we've agreed to in the international community, and they're very upset about it.
Right.
International civil rights organizations, they're very upset about the way these drone things have been handled out, and it goes back to situational ethics.
Exactly. All right,
so let's say this is what it is. Let's say we could possibly kill a terrorist, but we know that right now that terrorist is next to a school full of children. Well, what do we do? And, you know, I was talking to Pastor Bill the other day and how the role of a chaplain in the Army is supposed to give the... he's supposed to be almost a prophetic voice. I don't want to put words in Pastor Bill's mouth, but a prophetic voice to the leader that he's serving to tell him, this is what morally is right or wrong. And you have the lawyer over, or the JAG over here saying, this is what's legally right or wrong. And we seem to have lost that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we were upset when 20 kids were killed, 20 first graders were killed in Connecticut. We were upset when boys and girls lost their lives at 9/11. Shouldn't we be upset that children are dying in the international community, even if it's a small number, 200? Aren't we as believers pro-life?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't that concern us just a little bit? Even if we decide that it's the right thing to do ethically, it should cause us to cringe a little bit. Maybe I guess what I'm saying, John, is, again, making conservatives mad, maybe we're too pro-war.
Mm-hmm.
And I cringe saying that because we live in Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Right. Now, one thing that comes to mind, it was just not so many weeks ago in which the same argument was floated about the debt ceiling. And the fact that we couldn't go back on these debts, what would people think of America? What would be the fallout from America's yay not being her yay and her nay not being her nay? However, we have no problems when breaking a treaty, it seems like, in this administration when it comes to the drone strikes. And it's the same exact thing. You know, when we signed a treaty that says we will not do X, Y, or Z, then as godly men and women, what we should say is we have resigned ourselves to let our word be our bond. And if we're going to hold the same standard and try to... But what's going on here is people are just looking for leverage. And so they'll play any particular political card that they think is going to get them benefit. So this week I might bash George Bush and his procedures at Guantanamo Bay, but in a couple of years, I'll just do the same thing and quietly continue the same program Because it's effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he hasn't shut down Guantanamo Bay yet. And his presidency is the time is slipping away from him to do some of these things that he said he was going to do.
So it makes you wonder if what's really not going on is situational ethics, like you said.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and again, the healthcare thing. He decided to delay part of the healthcare law. All right, well, why couldn't you delay the other part of the healthcare law? You know, when you had computer programmers, people working on this website saying that this thing stinks, they're not going to have it done in time, why couldn't you just delay all of it? And then we get down to a pride issue. So we have honesty, we have pride. We're not being moral.
A lot of pride to be honest and say, you know what, I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I have to go to my children, and you know, it doesn't happen often enough, but when I have to go to my children and say, look, you know, Dad lost his temper, or I just punished you because you embarrassed me in front of my friends, or, you know, I shouldn't speak to you that way, I shouldn't speak to your mother that way, I have to get rid of my pride in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, perhaps... perhaps as rising to arguably one of the most powerful men in the planet, that's counterintuitive. But I think that many would respect a man who is willing to say, this is what I believe, and then be honest when things don't go your way.
Yeah, and I think people would appreciate it. And I think we've lost that. And we're concerned about our next generation of kids. And what we're teaching them is that we can make a mistake and we can not fix it. We can make a mistake and we can say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Well, we probably wouldn't have apologized if people didn't get on to us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the president had chances to stop these things, and he didn't do it. And now that everything's gone down the tube, he all of a sudden wants to do the about face, but he's still not quite ready to say that. It's the wrong thing. And it's not just been a problem with President Obama. It was a problem with Bush. It was a problem with Clinton. It's a problem with the previous Bush. Bush won.
Exactly.
No new taxes, and the taxes went up.
Mm-hmm. And we certainly would say it's not 100% just one way, because we know exactly why. One of the reasons why he wouldn't stand up and say, let's press the pause button, it's not ready, is because the conservatives would have jumped all over that and made as much hay as they can.
Yeah, it would have been a Republican victory.
Right, and so it's, you know, it's both sides, and we understand. But what we're asking for, and what we're asking you to consider today, is as you go to vote today, how about somebody who's going to tell us the truth? And how do you measure that? What is the best way to measure someone who's going to tell you the truth, Joey? What you got a thought about? How do you know if a politician is going to tell you the truth?
Well, I guess actions speak louder than words. That's why I cringed at the thought of putting Romney in office, because he was such a flip-flop. Say one thing, do another. You know, I'm pro-life, but I invested stocks in companies that disposed of fetuses that were aborted.
Hmm.
Okay, well, I'm struggling. You supported abortion, but now you didn't. Is the only reason that you changed is so you could give my vote? You know, that bugs me. That doesn't sit well with me. And so I look at guys' records, and let me see your record. And you know, there's a congressman in Congress who retired recently. You can look him up. He was known as Dr. No. And the reason he was known as Dr. No, because he said he was against more spending. And in just about every time that there was a bill up for more spending, guess what he did? He voted no. He was consistent. So I think you look at someone's voting record, their past character, the actions that they've done, and you judge them based on that.
And for us, the people who are never going to be in office, I think it's very important we need to understand what we teach our children by our actions. And when we choose a path that would minimize a mistake we've made, that would bring us less pain, let's say, but we could just, all we have to do is be a little bit dishonest about it, and we wouldn't have as much of a hurt on our pride. What we're really doing is we're teaching our children that situational ethics is okay. And so when our children see us cheat just a little bit, even emotionally, it has a damaging effect on their understanding of honesty.
Mm-hmm. And we're teaching them. We're giving them the rubber stamp of approval.
That's our broadcast for today. If you have comments or questions, please post those directly to this broadcast. Thanks for your time. Have a great day.